If you believe that much fasting is necessary for healing, then this talk will give you much relief. But do we not need to fast first before we pray for healing? Quite often people have the following verse in mind, Matthew 17. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. But let's just read the verse in the whole context. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, Why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, Because of your unbelief. For assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, Move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. We really only have a problem with this haven't fasted enough idea when we think healing is a reward for fasting. That's the same as saying that the grace and goodness of God, which is what healing is received by works. But healing can only be paid by Jesus' stripes and therefore not by fasting. Just as the forgiveness of sins can only be paid for by Jesus' blood and not by fasting. Scripture says that healing is a sign, Mark 16, but we have turned it into a reward. And by the way, a sign is not a confirmation that you are right with God either. It is a sign to the unbeliever and a manifestation of God's love for people. And the goodness of God often leads to repentance. Verse 19. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, Why could we not cast it out? So the disciples asked, Why could we not cast it out? Listen, Jesus gave them the answer. Verse 20. Because of your unbelief. Jesus did not tell them off for not fasting because he had already said they would not fast until he was taken from them. Mark 2 says, And Jesus said to them, Can the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. However, he could and did correct them for not having faith. They had already returned from at least one short-term mission, which included preaching, healing, and casting out devils. They had even returned saying how demons obeyed them in Jesus' name. There are numerous accounts of the disciples healing and casting out devils, but not one account tells us that they fasted beforehand. Jesus expected them to drive the demon out. He never gives you something to do which you are not able to do. Why and when would we fast? That is another sermon. But to say just now that fasting sharpens your spiritual senses. However, the power to heal and drive out demons is not in itself from the fasting, but from the authority which is given to every child of God due to what Jesus paid for 2,000 years ago. If a child tries to manipulate his mommy by saying, I will not eat until I get this toy, you think that it's a way to get the toy? No. Christians seem to call that fasting. Many people think if they don't eat and pray, they can twist God's arm so that he would heal them. That's not the way. But God's heart is to heal already anyway, as we have looked at in previous talks. There is no need to twist his arm when it's his heart to heal. But let's look at verse 21. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Jesus didn't say, hang on a minute, I first need to go and pray and fast, and then I come back and cast the demon out. Neither would he have expected that the disciples do that. The word unbelief in Greek is apistia, which also means distrust. And the word distrust is relational. If you distrust someone, you don't take him seriously. If you say you are taking him seriously, then you don't believe what he said to be true. Now, that is strong when we are talking of distrusting God. Let's realize this was an in-your-face visual manifestation. This was not just a little headache. It was a major sin which grabs attention. By mentioning this, I want us to realize that it is precisely this which can cause us to distrust. We focus on what we have in front of us instead of God and His Word. This happens without us even realizing it. We are so used to living visual, we hardly even know where we are putting what we see, hear, think, or man's opinion above God. And it's this which hinders us. Jesus is saying that we need to live in a deeper relationship with God all the time. As a result, to remove any distrust that is lurking in our hearts and mindset. We gather from the book of Acts that prayer and fasting was totally normal for every Christian as part of life. Here in the Western world, it's not normal to include fasting in our life, but it was in the early church. Maybe we need to think of adjusting our lifestyle in that area. Fasting is what can help us draw closer to God and get a clear understanding of the authority which He has given us already. In other words, Jesus is saying to the disciples to maintain a deep relationship with God. Jesus wasn't prescribing a method of deliverance here. He was pointing to a lifestyle of prayer and fasting that somehow positioned him to speak with an authority rooted in God, which the disciples didn't have. Prayer and fasting here is clearly in the context of intimacy with God. If my wife sends me a text message saying, "I will meet you at Costa Coffee in town at 2 p.m., then I'm absolutely sure she will be there at 2 p.m. So I won't go to McDonald's looking for her there. I trust her words. However, if I met someone else on the streets and agreed to meet in Costa Coffee at 2 p.m., I will still go there, but I'm not convinced that the person will actually turn up in the end. In fact, in my experience, about 60% would not keep their word. So can we see how belief and faith is relational? It's trusting in what God is saying. It's not faith in your faith or faith in our prayers or faith in our fasting. It's simply faith in God and His Word. Keep in mind, Jesus said there would be people who cast out demons but never knew Him, Matthew 7. So it is clearly possible to drive out some demons without having an intimate relationship with Jesus. However, not every demon. Remember Acts 19, when seven men wanted to drive out demons in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, not having any sort of relationship with Jesus? You know what happened? That spirit answered them, "Jesus, I know, and Paul, I know, but who are you?" Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. That must have been quite a fight that they decided to leave without clothes. The passage shows that this method was working until these men met a demon who apparently was more obstinate, and because those seven men didn't have an intimate relationship and therefore not enough authority, they couldn't drive it out. Looking at it simply, there are two options for what this kind refers to. Either this kind of demon or this kind of unbelief. If it were this kind of demon, then the answer would contradict itself. You can say to the mountain, "Move and it moves, nothing will be impossible to you." Nothing means nothing, which covers any type of demon. If it's this kind of unbelief, distrust, it makes sense to get that unbelief out of your system by drawing closer to God with prayer and fasting and adopting His mindset instead of our old one. As it says in Romans 12, being transformed by the renewing of your mind. When we study the text carefully in the context, then we discover that the disciples ask, Why could we not cast it out? Straight away Jesus came with the answer, because of your unbelief, distrust. And then he gave an additional explanation about the limitlessness of faith. If you have faith, nothing will be impossible for you, which indicates in itself that it was because of a lack of faith and not a lack of fasting. After the explanation, he carries on from his direct answer when he said, because of your unbelief. And then he continues, however, this kind of unbelief does not go out except by prayer and fasting. So it is clear that this kind refers to a mindset which doesn't fully trust God and not a certain kind of demon. Weigh it up for yourself. So we can confidentially sum up that fasting is not a direct condition for healing. Thank you very much for watching. From the next talk onwards, we are going to look at topics which are related to that God wants to use you in healing the sick. Our next question will be, but do I not need a clear call from God to heal the sick and to preach? See you soon.